Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. Welcome back, everybody. We're here in the studio, continuing into this big world of design section of my podcast. And we're in the design process, and we are in the design development aspect of the design process, which is stepping stone two. So stepping stone one was the schematic design. We've started to dive into design development, and we're at the third chapter of my design development phase. And this is the core aspect of design that we wanted to talk about today. And the last couple episodes, design development. This is where all of the details get worked out on your project and start to get documented within your plans and your specifications, which we're going to talk about today. So today is about getting into the nitty-gritty details that determine whether your project succeeds brilliantly or becomes an expensive cautionary tale. So here's what most homeowners don't realize. You can have the most beautiful architectural plans in the world, the most talented team of specialists and consultants like we've talked about, and even have perfect coordination between them all. But if your specifications are incomplete, vague, or poorly documented, your project will face cost overruns, construction delays, and the finished end result that doesn't really match your expectations. So today I'm trying to make sure that doesn't happen to you. And so we're going to master the three component specification system that I've used for 35 years in my projects. And when I coordinate the design and construction of medium to high-end residential remodels, renovations, and new homes, and why this is going to be so important. I want you to keep in mind what we're continuing to plow ahead towards is the completed set of plans and specifications so that we can do some budget analysis, but not based on high-level guesses and approximations and square footages. Now we're going to try to position ourselves with enough information to convey that to the people that will be building the project, who ultimately have to price out the project for you. So that is the goal here, is we are going to get into the specifications and how to go about that. So let's do that. So when you look at the classic complaints of a homeowner who is building a home, we always hear about the over budget scare and the delay scare and the just missed expectations at the end of the project. And when you really start digging down into this and figure out what the cause of this problem is, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with specifying all of the products, the finishes, the materials, the equipment that goes into your project, and the scope of work, what I call, which is the directions, the methods, the instructions on applying said material. And what happens is a lot of these decisions get deferred and get deferred till it's too late. So when the time comes to actually order material or install material, it's not there, or it hasn't been ordered, and nobody really knows what you wanted to begin with, and now things start getting priced out. And we're going to back into that today and talk about what actually happens. So here's the reality. Your plans show where things go, but specifications tell contractors exactly what those things are and how they should be installed. So without proper specifications, you're essentially asking contractors to provide estimates and build projects based on incomplete information. And that leads to the infamous word assumptions. And contractor assumptions are expensive for you in time and money. So, like I said, even the most detailed architectural plans, they have limitations. There's like physically not enough space on the plan pages to specify every material, every doorknob, every cabinet hardware, tile. Some projects could have 50 different tiles in them. And where is this information going to get documented? How can we take this information and get it to the people that need it, that need to price it out, that need to order it? What methods are we going to use? And we're going to start with how to categorize all this information, talk about each one of these categories. This is why a lot of professional architects and designers use some kind of specification method, meaning they might create like a binder, or they might use online tools such as web-based project management centers. I use a software called JobTread. Other companies use a software called BuilderTrend or others that are out there. Some people just use Google Sheets and Google Docs. It doesn't necessarily matter as long as there's a system in place. And this is going to be one of the first questions that you're going to ask your architect, maybe even before you hire him, is tell me a little bit about how you manage the choices and the selections and the specifications of a project to be sure that I know what I'm getting and my contractor knows what to provide. You know, when specifications are incomplete or vague, contractors have two choices, right? They can ask a lot of questions for clarification. Frankly, a lot of contractors and builders don't necessarily have the time to do that, nor do they really want to do that. They feel like that's not their responsibility, but it is their responsibility to price out the project, and they know that. So the tendency is to make some assumptions or even put allowances in for a particular material. So if there's a tile material that's specified all over the shower, there's no material specifications, a contractor might put in $10 per square foot for a tile. Written may not, who knows? But this can cause a lot of problems. One, you can have inaccurate estimates. Number two, you can have contradicting estimates from different contractors if you're getting more than one estimate on a project. You are potentially delaying your project, not knowing what the timeline is for that material. Some material could take you 3 months or 6 months to get. There's a lot of problems, and this is the cause of a lot of these complaints that homeowners have during the project, and why contractors get frustrated in creating this kind of dissension between the owner, the architect, and the contractor, because they're ready to do their job and they can't do their job because they don't have the material specifications that they need or the instructions that they need or both. And this can lead to a lot of problems in the project. And that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to share with you what causes these problems and how you can prevent them. So comprehensive specifications, they protect you by creating accountability throughout your design team, enabling accurate cost estimating, preventing construction delays, and ensuring the finished product matches your vision. It's not just paperwork. It's kind of like an insurance policy. So this is something that should be taken very seriously on a project, and this can range through all different aspects of a project and categories, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. But let's talk about the three-component specification system. Let's see if this can help you focus in on what you want to focus on for your materials. Here's one analogy for you. So think of specifications as your project's DNA. They contain all the genetic information that determines how your vision becomes reality. Just like DNA has different components that control different aspects of your life, specifications have three distinct components that control different aspects of your project. So let's talk about component number one, and this is materials. So materials, as you can imagine, in building a home, there's a wide range of materials. And in my business, I categorize those by construction category. So think about material specifications as identifying every visible and even structural element in your project, from the foundation to the cabinet hardware to the paint colors to the roofing materials. It can be seen or touched in your finished home. It needs to be specified. You can say, I want a light color paint, or you can say, I want Benjamin Moore advanced paint, simply white, OC117 satin finish applied over Benjamin Moore Fresh Start Primer, right? There's a good comparison where if you specify all of the product and the colors, there's no questions. The painter can price out that particular product. They can order it off of this list. There's no questions. There's no delays. There's no lack of communication. There's no assumptions. Think about that principle. You want new hardwood flooring. That doesn't help anybody very much. They need to know the materials, the style, the finish, everything that they need to do to price and order and plan. So a builder is going to go, oh, you want hand-scraped walnut hardwood flooring. That can take 8 weeks to get. So I break down materials in two categories. I break them down by what I call the construction materials, and then I break them down into the finished materials. So the construction materials are mostly what your architect would specify on a project. And that can be things like the siding and the front door and the trim around the siding and the roofing materials and the gutter design and all of the components. Think about it, all the components on the outside of the home, just to simplify things here. And then on the interior, it could be your architect, but more than likely it's you and your interior designer. So visualize yourself walking into your new home while it's under construction and there's just bare drywall. There's no materials. Think of everything that is affixed to the interior of the house to make it your living area. It can start with the flooring and the baseboards and the paint colors and the cabinets and the countertops and the backsplashes and the tile and the hardware and the appliances and the fireplace design and the mantle and the decorative beams. All of these things are the materials that go on the inside of the home. And like I said, on the outside could be the windows. Anything that's built into the structure. Your design team, whether it's your architect or architect and interior designer, and you, it's your job to document the materials of the project. So the material choices, they can swing your budget dramatically. The difference between laminate countertops and natural stone can be $10,000. The difference between vinyl flooring and hardwood floor could be 20 grand. You get it. So the idea here is to get a set of documents together on your specifications, and I'll see if I can post the categories that I use throughout a whole project. And I use it for everything from scheduling to specifications to budgeting. I use the same categories throughout. And then that way you can go through a list of the things that you, or at least the categories. So for example, there'll be a category called tile. Tile could be the tile on the flooring, the tile on the walls, the tile on the backsplashes, tile around the fireplace. Anywhere that there's tile on a project is specified in that category. And I do that because all of the material is usually installed by the same trade contractor, whether it's on the floor or the ceiling or the walls, as opposed to categorizing flooring for the tile and then countertops for the backsplash and fireplaces for the surround. I do it all in one category because you're going to be getting budgeting for that in one option from your builder or from your tile setter. And I do that throughout the project as much as I can. So another example of that is slab stone. So slab stone could go on countertops, it can go on mantles, it can go on desktops, it can go on vanity tops, it can go on round showers as shower surrounds. It's the same concept. It's all organized by category, and this gives you a methodology to go through and decide, where do I want tile, if you get what I'm saying. So that is a big one, the materials. And in the design development stage, as we're getting towards the end of design development, the output, what you're going to want to have is a list of all of the materials that that you want in your project, ideally. Now, that's a big hurdle. That's a big climb, because this is where a lot of time and effort needs to be put into play. And that's why an interior designer and your architect can help you by speccing Milgard windows with specific glass and the grid pattern, or Marvin windows, or you want to give options for both, and that's specified within the project specifications. The roofing material, the exact shingle style, color, etc. So all of these materials are specced out so that you visualize yourself handing your potential builders a set of plans and at the same time a set of specifications. Now, often your architect will use the plan set to document as much as they can on the drawings so that there's one place to look at for everything from a builder's perspective. What happens with plans in reality, the sheets that go inside the plan sets, is there's not really enough room to place all of these materials on one plan page. And it can get really crowded. And the more crowded a plan set gets with content, the less it gets read, frankly. So architects will do a couple things. They will create what's called a schedule of finishes or a schedule of materials. And what that means is they will have a standard table format where they list out all of the rooms and a lot of different variables within those rooms and list out the materials for those rooms. And then a person can look at the finished schedule and understand what materials go where. They'll also make notes directly on the plans. Like if you look at like an elevation of a front of your home and you see the roof, there could be a note for the exact roofing material noted right on the elevation plan, which can work too. Where you really get crowded is with the interior design materials. Where are we going to write down the exact cabinet, manufacturer, style, door style, edges, wood species, the finish, the hardware? If you see what I'm saying here, there's a lot of material there that needs to get specified somewhere and handed off to somebody. So that's usually where a supplemental set of specifications come into play for the material. So that is component number one, material. Number two is equipment. Now, equipment is not as sexy as materials, but this is information that needs to be documented and conveyed to the people that are going to price out the project. Equipment isn't quite as elaborate and is not as many line items or options, but there's things that need to be specified for the different trade contractors and your builder. And that could identify all the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and technology systems that make your home function. Think of equipment as the heart, brain, and circulatory system of your house, the stuff that's mostly hidden but absolutely critical, right, to your daily life. So the furnace, for example, the furnace make and model, if it's a forced air furnace system, the compressor, a condensing unit that goes outside for your air conditioning should be specified, the make, model, and all of the specifications necessary for the HVAC contractor to price out the project. If you don't do that, they're going to make assumptions and they're going to price out probably the cheapest thing that they can get onto the project. So that's just like a little micro example. The electrical equipment that's going to go into the house, all of the outlets and switches and lighting fixtures, the panels, if you are planning to do any kind of smart panel solution, the plumbing equipment, water heaters, and it pumps, fixtures, filtration systems, low voltage equipment. So this is what your mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers and designers do, or your architect does, or what you can do during the design process. If your project is not that elaborate, you can bring in an HVAC contractor and they can review your plans. They can offer suggestions on them, or at least educate you and then offer you suggestions. And then you can make informed decisions about what to specify for the project if you have not hired a dedicated mechanical HVAC designer. You can see that's going to require more work on your part, but you'll be more engaged and you'll know a lot more about what's going on. Anything you can do except wait for somebody to make an assumption and a guess on the project. So that's, like I said, there's the two approaches to specifying the equipment. You can have specific consultants actually design the project and specify all the materials, or you can use a subcontractor that's brought in during the design process, not during the construction process, but during the design process, so that you can get accurate costs and make sure that you're getting exactly what you want for the comfort of your home, for example. So that is the equipment. The next one is the scope of work. I call it the scope of work. And this is kind of like the action plan. What the scope of work specifications define, so the scope of work specifications tell contractors exactly what work to perform, how to perform it, and what quality standards to meet. So the scope of work bridges that gap between the materials and equipment specifications and the actual installation. So for example, let's say you're doing an addition on your home and you want new hardwood flooring, you're specifying new hardwood flooring in the new addition of the home. But in fact, you really want to have hardwood flooring throughout the existing home as well. And that's going to require the removal of the old flooring and preparation and installation of the new flooring. Now, if somebody was handed a set of plans and there was no instructions and it just said, I'm building a 500 square foot addition, I want new hardwood flooring, nobody asks questions, and they price out 500 square feet of hardwood flooring, and you get all your bids together and you move forward with a builder, and it comes to find out that, oh, you wanted the flooring throughout the whole house? I didn't know that. I didn't see that written on the plan. I had no idea. So this is a really good example about providing a narrative for each of the categories. So you're going to say hand scraped 3-inch wide by 3/4-inch thick walnut flooring in a natural water-based finish. Provide and install throughout new addition, living room, dining room, kitchen, and hallway to bedrooms. Do not include in the bedrooms. Remove and dispose of the existing flooring and provide and install the new. Not necessarily in that order. But that is the way you want to convey so that a builder knows that he has to include all of this stuff. They're not going to know to ask all of the questions. Like, where do you want to stop the flooring? A good contractor probably would, but there's a lot of them that not necessarily that they're not good. It's just that they've got stuff to do. They're out building things. So the more specific you can be with a scope of work document, the better. And also keep in mind that when a contractor sees that a homeowner has really thought out a project, the details are there, the materials are specified, the narrative is where you want this material and how you want it installed, is going to tell a contractor that this job's going to go smoother than most, that I'm going to be able to effectively, productively build this project, and therefore I want the project. So I'm going to reflect that in my pricing, perhaps. So this is an example where when people have a hard time engaging with contractors and not getting calls back, one of the reasons, not always, but one of the reasons is because their plans stink. And the contractor is just really not that interested in dealing with that right now because they've got a lot of other things going on.
All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again.
So in my book, and I'm looking at it right now on page 158 of the Awaken Homeowner in the World of Design section, I listed out what's called a work breakdown structure. Professional contractors and estimators call it a WBS, or work breakdown structure. And this is how I organize a project, all the way from scheduling to pricing out a project, to allocating time for the men in the field to allocate their time by category. It streams all the way through. And eventually in the BuildQuest application I'm in the process of developing, you'll be able to look at this list and use it to actually request for quotes. But I'm just going to go through this list real quick because I want you to understand how this list works. And what I've done is I've created this list for the most part in progression of a project. So how it would progress from the beginning to end. So visualize yourself specifying materials, equipment, and scope of work by category. And I won't go into the detail of each one, but I just want you to understand that this exists and you can read about it in the book or you can wait for the application someday. But these are numbered systems and they're in a spreadsheet format and you can use this for a lot of different things. And it begins with site preparation, demolition and disposal, concrete, which is your foundation and other concrete work, rough carpentry, that's your framing, the framing of the skeleton of the home, sheet metal and waterproofing. This is sometimes a separate trade contractor that comes in before the roofer comes in and puts all the sheet metal and flashing details on. Sometimes roofers do it themselves. Then we have the roofing. Then we have the siding and exterior trim. Then we have the skylights, the windows and patio doors. Then we have exterior doors. We have stucco and masonry, plumbing and fixtures, electrical and fixtures, low voltage elements. So I've talked a lot about mechanical, electrical, low voltage, and plumbing in previous episodes, and these each have their own category to talk about, to specify the materials you want, the equipment you want, and any narrative or instruction that you want to provide. Plumbing, electrical, low voltage, mechanical, fireplaces is its own category. Insulation, drywall, interior doors and trim and millwork, stairs, cabinetry, hardware, tile, slab and stonework, solid surfaces, flooring, appliances, glass, painting, landscaping, and then specialty category. So these are numbered categories all the way through, and you can tackle them one by one as a homeowner. And from an interior design standpoint, it usually begins with the plumbing and fixtures and then lighting fixtures. And it gets down into the cabinetry and hardware and tile and slab and stonework and so on. So these are standard categories that you use to document the materials that you want. So you can go through this list and go, okay, do I need any tile? Yeah, I need tile. Let's figure out where that's going to go. Let's break it out by room and start specifying all that. So that's what's called a work breakdown structure. And you're going to use that one way or another. A contractor who does estimating on a project, they have some kind of system that they use to break down an estimate for a structure. If they don't, you're probably in deep doo-doo because they have no idea what they're doing. So that is something to keep in mind, and it helps you to organize yourself when it comes to picking out the materials. It also helps you not to forget anything. And then what we usually do is if there's some items that, you know, that we have not quite picked out for the project, you can assign an allowance, but you have to be really careful there when you assign an allowance. You don't want your builder or contractor to assign an allowance. And if they do assign an allowance for, let's say, a flooring material, you're going to want to make sure that it is adequate by having a conversation with them. So another reason why you're going to want to go through this planning process when it comes to specifying materials and equipment is lead times. So they're sometimes, especially in recent days, sometimes lead times can extend out months, several months, which could directly impact the progression of your project. Cabinetry is a good one where people don't realize that cabinetry can take 3, 4 months, 5 months, especially if it's in the custom nature. You can also get cabinetry within a week, but it's also the least expensive and the lowest quality. So remember, we're trying to work our way through to making informed decisions on the project, both from a design standpoint and a cost standpoint. So now, let's assume that you've gone through months of working with your architect and your interior designer to do the best job you can specifying the materials. Let's also hope that your professional designer has some kind of methodology on their own to be able to tackle the materials and finishes. And when you're starting to engage with your architect, your residential designer, and your interior designer, especially maybe even in the early stages before you even hire them, you're going to want to ask some questions like, how do you help me make choices for all of the thousands of things that need to be decided on? Listen to their answer. Do you have a standard system? Do you help guide me? What is your process so that I can understand how you work? Do you provide me with three different options, or do you provide every single option on the face of the earth so I can get overwhelmed? Some people like that. Some homeowners like to see all of the things that are available for a slab stone and go to five different locations. Some people just go to one location. Some people don't go to any locations. They ask their designer to bring to them material boards, mood boards, whatever you want to call it, for them to pick one of the three options. So the budget checkpoint number one we did was, like I said, more theoretical, educated guesses based on square footage and similar projects and ballpark figures. Perhaps you brought in a contractor in the schematic design stage, at the end of schematic design stage, and said, okay, we finally figured out what we think we want. We want this home with this buildings and that and all these features and everything that you want on your home. And you have a little bit more data. You have a floor plan and elevations, like I mentioned earlier. And you got some kind of budgetary number before anything was picked out. And before that, you in the discovery stage, you thought about what you wanted to invest. So you can see that what's happening here is you thought you wanted to invest $1 million. You went through the schematic design. The contractor said, that's going to be tough. You're going to probably be more like $1.5 million. So you pivoted there and said, okay, designer, let's shrink the house up by 500 feet as an example. Now we've gone through the design developments. So now you feel better about your budget checkpoint number one. Now we're moving into design development. We've gone through and understood all the processes. We've picked out materials and specifications. Now we're going to pause again. The best part about this stage of the game is now you as a homeowner are empowered with real information. Remember, we have a set of plans. They're not 100% complete, but you have a set of plans from the architect. You have a set of plans and specifications from the structural engineer and hopefully from any kind of mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineer or a design for that. And now we've talked about having the material specifications, the equipment specifications, and a scope of work. A lot of work that goes into this, but guess what? This is how we're protecting our dreams, right? This is how we're trying to achieve what we want. You've invested in this time. So you're going to have to do it at any time. There's going to be a time where you have to pick out materials and equipment. Why are we waiting till the end after the project's being built? Just doing it then is just going to delay the project anyway and surprise you with budget costs. You're not adding any more time to plan better, if that makes any sense. But what you are doing is you're prioritizing it and getting your mind in that part of the game because it's really tempting to just start construction. I just want to get started. I'm really excited about my new home. You're burning yourself probably if you don't do this. So we now have a package that we're going to go to a contractor, and we can do one of two things here, depending on how thorough your plans are. We can do another budget checkpoint, number two, with maybe the same contractor you had with 6 months ago or 4 months ago when you were early in the design stage. Have them come back and say, okay, you now have a complete set of plans and specifications. Would you be willing to price out the project or at least do another budget checkpoint for me? So let's remember what the contractor needs to price out a project is the complete architectural plans with dimensions and detail. structural engineering plans with material specifications from the structural aspect, the mechanical, electrical plans, so that they can, as the builder, can engage with the trade contractors that they need. And then the interior design plans and finished materials and fixture selections, so that they can also have those priced out. And then a scope of work document they can reference along with the plans to do the pricing out. Here's what you might want to say to a contractor. We're deep into the design development process. We have 90% of the material specified, completed structural engineering, and comprehensive scope of work documentation. Would you be open to providing a detailed cost estimate for our project? So there's a difference between a budget checkpoint and a cost estimate. A cost estimate is what a contractor is going to commit to building the project. And the only way that they'll do that is if they have enough information. Now, at the design development stage, not every single itty-bitty detail has been worked out, both on the material specifications and equipment and scope of work, but also the architect has more work to do to assemble all the plans ready for permit, and that's in the upcoming episode called Construction Documents. But for the most part, you're going to have a really close number, assuming you have structural engineering for the project. So this budget checkpoint or construction estimate really empowers you to make educated choices based on real information. Now, you are deep into the design process. You have paid for design, but you haven't fully paid for design. You haven't committed to the permit cost. You're still in the driver's seat, maybe not as much as you were prior to this, because at some point there is a leap of faith where you said, okay, let's just go for it. That just happens almost every time. As long as you've managed that risk and that leap is not too high. And then maybe there's some padding at the bottom. And that's what we're trying to create, is some padding here so that if you do take the leap and you have to recoil, you can, or land on that cushy mattress at the bottom. So it empowers you to make educated choices based on the real information. So you might decide, let's option out the master suite addition and focus on the main house renovation. Or let's build the primary structure now and finish the basement in phase two. Because you've declared these options and phases early on with the architect, you've identified those because you are concerned about the budget, and you've conveyed that at the beginning when you're getting costs from an actual contractor, so they don't have to go back and try to break things out. They know going in that these things might be optioned out. It makes for a lot less time and aggravation for a contractor if you want things broken out. The worst thing you can do to a contractor is say, okay, great. Okay, now, can you option out this and price out that and phase this out? And most likely, they have built this all into an estimating system, and to extract that out can be a tremendous amount of work and aggravation. In fact, you might scare them off to the point that they never call you back. So again, at the end of this design development phase, which is where we're at now, you've got several plan pages. You have plans, you have specifications, you have scope of work, you have equipment specifications, and now you have either a very accurate checkpoint or a really accurate cost estimate that your contractor is willing to commit to. And that could be subject to final construction documents, but it's going to be really close. So your goal is to complete this checkpoint feeling confident about your project's direction, realistic about costs, and prepare for the final design phase. You should have clarity on what you're building, what it will cost, and how you'll proceed. Now, if you don't feel that, even from a design standpoint, if you don't feel like I'm really seeing my new house, they've provided me great ways to visualize my new home, and I'm seeing the materials that I specified and that I like on the actual drawings and documents and in the 3D renderings. If you're not feeling that way, that you feel like you know what you're getting, then you're going to want to pause and you're going to want to meet up with your architect and designer and say, hey, I'm not really understanding this. I'd like a little bit more work on what my kitchen's going to look like with all of the general colors. They may not be able to get it exactly, You'd be surprised. A lot of designers can import marble and granite textures into their software and then put them on the actual design software and get it pretty darn close. I've done it myself and I'm not an architect. So that's one element. And then the second element is the cost. You now have a really good idea what this thing's going to cost. You might put a provision of 5 to 10% just to be safe, but you really have a good idea. And now you have that missing link that everybody is missing on a project where they need that to make an informed decision. You may decide to not do the project. You might decide to not do all of the project. You might decide to change the material specifications to start chipping away at the cost. There's a lot of different variables that come into play. It's a very customized business. So that is the goal here with design development. And it's a lot more comprehensive than that, but I really wanted to get this into your brain so that you understand from the schematic design, the fun, touchy-feely, organic, free-flowing process to phase one of design development, of committing and refining, to phase two of design development, which is orchestrating all of the design team that contributes to the design and plans and specifications, and then the actual plans that are getting developed. And phase three of design development, which is material specifications, equipment, and the scope of work narrative instructions supported with all of the drawings and details so that you can get accurate cost estimates. This is how you stay in control. This is how you stay in the driver's seat. It does take more time to actually design a project and plan a project properly, but it doesn't take any more time to build it. Do you get that? So if you don't put the time in the planning, you're going to then just move that over and put it into the construction timeline. And then you should probably factor that by two because things are going to get delayed. You should also be aware that if you didn't do all this work I'm talking about in the design development stage, that you aren't really going to know the cost of the project. You'll know that during construction when you get change ordered to death, because now you want to have tile flooring in the whole house, not just in the entry, whatever. So that is the idea here. So don't get it in your head that I want to hurry up and start because I want to hurry up and finish. Because if you hurry up and start, it's probably going to take you longer to finish than if you put the time in the planning up front, put the brakes on, said pause. Hey, everybody, I want everything picked out before we start. We got to start construction. We got to submit for permit. That's not necessarily my top priority. I want to make sure I'm getting what I want, and I want to make sure I can pay for it. So today's key message. Specification are your project's insurance policy, both from timing and cost. They protect your investment from assumptions and misunderstandings. If you don't specify everything, the door is just kicked wide open for everybody to make all kinds of assumptions, and all of a sudden you're just getting pulled around all different directions. The three component system covers everything. Materials, both construction and finish. Materials, the equipment that goes into the home to operate the home, and the scope of work, the narrative that gives you an opportunity to say, I want it installed on a diagonal pattern, and I want it on the ceiling and the floor, not just the floor. These are just dumb examples, but you get what I'm saying. That's the three component system, the holistic planning, cost analysis, and timeline coordination. Don't forget that you can manage this project and you can screw it up by not specifying materials on time, ordering them too late, and delaying the project. The biggest one is now you can perform some financial analysis, whether it's through a budget checkpoint number two or actual construction estimate for the project. So your action items right now that I would say is work with your team to ensure all three specification components are thoroughly addressed. Implement a strategic selection thinking for materials and equipment choices. Now, you're not expected to be the professional here, but you know that you like that type of window, or you like that type of interior door, or you don't know maybe, if that needs to be figured out. But These are the things that you're going to be looking at. Put it that way. Who's going to help you pick out all the things you're looking at? All these pictures that you've saved, all these ideas that have been discussed, where is that going to get written down so it's the right material installed in the right place in the right way? And prepare for honest budget discussions based on all of these specifications when you start getting pricing back. And then plan your approach and mindset for this budget checkpoint or this estimating and this decision-making process, because you're still in the driver's seat. Once you do all the construction documents and get permits and you're under construction, you're out of the driver's seat. All of a sudden, you're going to get hammered with questions, hammered with extra work orders and change orders, and you're losing control of your project. And if you have unlimited funds and unlimited time, you could approach it that way, but it's still ugly. This is like the empowerment moment. So now you understand the specification system, I hope, that separates successful projects from expensive disasters. And you have the tools to protect your investment. You can make strategic decisions and communicate effectively with contractors. You're going to need help with that from your design team. Unless you have a lot of experience in this, you're going to need some help to be able to do that. But if you're able to get empowered with that information and visualize yourself handing and proud to be handing over these set of plans and specifications to a potential builder, you're in a good spot. So this puts you in control of your project instead of being at the mercy of assumptions and miscommunications and people making decisions on your behalf that you don't even know about. People could be making decisions on the grout color for your tile because nobody told them. So the tile setter decided, yeah, I'll just use this. I think that's going to look best. And not even ask. That is a scary part. And that happens a lot in this business, and not just with grout colors. So the next episode we're going to be moving into is step 3 of the design process. So we've covered step 1, stepping stone 1, as we work our way across that stream, which is the schematic design, the fun aspect. We've gotten to the nitty-gritty details of design development. Now we're going to get into construction documents, which a lot of times you're offline of that. If you've done a really good job in design development, this is when your architect and design team start preparing the plans to go to the city for permitting. We're going to cover what to expect for the construction document phase and how to navigate the approvals that you're going to have to get from your city and your county and maybe your HOA, and how to get ready to launch into the building phase. So remember, successful projects are built on comprehensive specifications and strategic decision making. And the only way you're going to be able to do that strategic decision making is if you have the information to do that. So you now have both. Trust your preparation, make informed choices, and know that you got this. Thanks for listening. I'm your home building coach from the Awakened Homeowner, and my name's Bill Reed. I wish you all the luck. See you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning into the Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab the Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.